You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
As we forgive, so shall ye be forgiven.
Okay.
The measure you use to measure shall be meted unto you.
Right. And in 1 John, we read that we Christians are going to sin. And John says that we have a faithful Savior that we go to who is free to forgive our sins. So if we think that we don't have need of forgiveness, we're crazy. We're delusional. We're not being realistic about life, okay? If we confess our sins, John says he's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us, all right? So we need forgiveness on a regular basis. It's important. This is part of Jesus has told us what the first steps are in being a disciple. He's told us how we're to be with the people around us, how we're to understand the scriptures, how we're to talk now to our heavenly fathers, and that daily we need this divine substance to get us through the day, and that we need to forgive others and not hold on to any offenses. Verse 13, he says, "And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, God is not a person who tempts us, but he does allow temptation. Remember, as soon as Jesus was filled with the Spirit did what? Led him out into the wilderness where he had an encounter with Satan, and Satan tempted him. "Hey, you hungry? Turn this rock into bread." Well, Jesus responded with Scripture, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of God's mouth," okay? So God is allowing us to be in situations where the enemy comes at us, where our natural instincts and the world comes at us, but God wants to give us victory in these moments.
A little aside here. I'm going to go down a little rabbit hole. In the song, we are the world, we are the da da. It says, just as God turned a stone into a rock, it lies in the song. So you know the seed where that's what it says. It says, as he turned a rock into stone, the very opposite of what the scriptures say.
Well, I think the point for us is to remember that God is the one who allows temptation, but he really wants us to have victory in these moments, and because we should become experienced spiritual warriors. The Lord never led temptation for the purpose of causing us to fail, but I think it's the purpose of proving the sufficiency of his presence and of his power. Okay?
And then, did I say rock into stone, or did I say the stone into bread?
I'm not sure, Rhett.
Okay. And we are the world. It says he turned the stone into bread, which is a lie. But anyway, I just wanted people to know that.
Okay. And then verse 14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So there's something that connects our forgiveness with the grace that we receive from the Lord, because forgiving others seems to be the mandatory first step in us receiving forgiveness from God, okay? And you know, Red, in your life and the people that you're around and talk to, there are few things that create problems in the lives of the disciples of Jesus and in people like unforgiveness. And if you talk to any psychologists about the root of behavioral issues, many will point to the practice of holding on to offenses as the source of so many emotional and health issues.
Unforgiveness. They say causes cancer, et cetera.
Right. And so that's why the writer of Hebrews in verse 15 of chapter 12, he says, "See to know that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." So when we hold on to an offense, it causes a deep root to go into our soul, and we meet people that are holding on to unforgiveness. And they're people that they have become bitter about life and about relationships.
And also, you said relationships. So God's, it's written that God created man for fellowship. You have your children. Let's say you had your four children and they were perfect. Well, what makes the relationship build is that you don't have perfect children. So they have to come to Poppy, and then you can explain that. Well, this builds relationships. So too, like I have somebody right now that I was irritated with, and my tone last time I met this person was rather abrasive because he did lie and did not do what he said he was going to do. But now I realize after a couple of weeks here, I'm going to call him or I'm going to text him and say, I realize this will give an opportunity now to even be better friends, because I'm going to say,
exactly,
okay, I was wrong. I handled, my tone was wrong. I still believe that this is what the way it should have gone down. But you know what? More important is that I had a wrong tone, and we all make mistakes. So let's move forward. And actually, it's just like in the business world. I say, when you get a complaint from a customer and you get irritated with them, call them up, rectify, because now you have a deeper relationship with that client. Now you have a better client than you did before.
Exactly.
So with
It's so counterintuitive that we would do this, because I've noticed that when I have a situation come up, that if I address that in a very humble way and maybe think, well, maybe I'm the fault of this, possibly could I make a mistake? I know that's...
What part did you play in this?
Exactly. And if I have that attitude going into it, Rhett, what I have found is exactly what you've said. I come out of that situation actually with a friendship with this person. And some of my dear friends in my life now are people that I've had deep, troubling problems with, that I've actually been the culprit, and that now we've come to an agreement and we have become better friends as a result.
Well, you know, I remember years ago, I will always remember this. You may not, and you might. I was in your class where we have a group of men, and I got offended by somebody, and I was rather sharp of tongue. What amazed me.
No kidding.
What amazed me is that you turned to me in the most loving, kind way and said, well, first, we don't want to talk that way. We want to do this. And it was like you melted all of that, because what you did is you, instead of giving anger for anger, you gave me love and forgiveness. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yes, you know. And actually, that person who had aught against, now he and I are talking again and everything's fine. But I do want you to know that when you did that, it was like, wow, it was so loving and kind. You did not let me get under your skin, or my anger determined the moment. You took control of it with God's world, which is inverted, and it was love.
Well, that's just the result of me not doing that in so many situations.
With your children.
And finding myself in hotter water than I was in, and unable to resolve situations. So some of us learn these lessons the hard way. So, and so I think just kind of the summation of this teaching on communication with our Heavenly Father, I think what Jesus is telling us is that God wants us to have regular conversations with Him. And so He's letting us know what the important elements of these conversations are. We're not just to recite memorized words, hoping that they're going to have some magical effect on the situation. Because I really think, like our friends and our family, God wants to have genuine conversations with us. I really think He wants to hear what's going on in our heart. And I think it's so important that we acknowledge this father-son, father-daughter relationship. I know when I say, I love you to my wife or to my children, it's acknowledging what the depth of the relationship is. And I think our Heavenly Father also desires to hear this invitation from us to allow Him to control our day, allow Him to direct.
Because it creates relationship with Him.
Okay.
He wants involvement in our life. He created man for fellowship.
Right, and when we invite Him in, it's like my wife saying, I fixed a really nice meal. Would you sit down and have a meal? Would you take me dancing afterwards? You know, and I go, yeah, okay. So the other thing that we have to realize is that God knows our needs even before we ask, you know. I mean, I love my children to come and talk to me about what's going on in their life, and when they have needs to ask me. I love helping them. And I think God wants us to keep our slate clean between Him. If I've said things or done things that are out of His character, I need to acknowledge that. there should be no offenses that hinder his and my relationship, as well as the relationship with the people around me.
If I ain't got a nickel, or I ain't got a dime, I know he's working his plan out in time. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. For he is the potter, and I am the clay. Though persecuted or left all alone, our God reigns, he's still on the throne. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. For he is the potter, and we are the clay. Yeah, now who's the clay? Who's the clay? To talk to the potter. Say, hey, potter, you should make me this way. We know we're loved because he'll chastise us. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. For he is the potter. It is written, we know Jesus, he wins. It'll be okay. It's gonna be okay. For he is the potter.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.